Amen. So we just thank God for today. I want to briefly share on the justification of the adulterous woman. The justification of the adulterous woman. A woman caught in adultery. And from this simple lesson, we can be able to discern the nature of God, the nature of God's judgment, and we can actually begin to discern the true nature of God's, you know, immutable love. That's a love that never changes. Men actually have a very negative view of God, and that negative view is the thing that has affected the life of most people. The view of God is what will affect your life. If you have a negative view of God, or rather a mistaken view of God, it will only affect your life. Things will not work out for you. You see, but when you have the right view of God, then everything works out for your good, you know. The world does not know God. And that is the difference between the world and a believer. The world is not aware of the living God. When you talk of the world, we're just talking of anything that is under the category of flesh and blood. Forget the religions of men, forget the concepts of men, and all the ideas that men have painted in their head over the years. People have very different impressions of God, you know. And all these things that, these imaginations of God that men have had over the years, is simply a result of the fall that was in the beginning. You see, man in his fall has now recreated God in the image of man. Remember that God in the beginning created man in his image, but man has turned it around and now created God in his own image, that is, in the image of mortal man. So now you have a view of a very negative view of God. Because let's face it, the view that people have of God is very negative. They have the view of a God that will, you know, is ready to strike you down. God is just waiting at the corner, waiting for you to just make a mistake. And he'll be on top of you, you know, to finish you up. You see, that's the kind of condemnation, the kind of life, you know, that you see in the impression that people have of God. And you see these things in religion. Have you gone to very deep religious sects where people are really, they live in bondage, in fear of sin, you know, in real fear, because all they can view is God that will cast them into fire. You know it? The thing that occupies the mind of a man most is how he will spend the rest of his life in one place called hell, you know? Burning and roasting like a barbecue forever and ever and ever and ever, you know. So in other words, God created man, you know, to put him in a barbecue, and God will be there laughing, you know. He'll be there watching you laugh, you know, roast forever and ever and ever, and he'll be there watching you, you know. In fact, there's a scene in the book of Revelation where there was a lake of fire. And you see the lamp represents Christ. Christ and the lamp and the angels were before the lake of fire, and people were burning in the lake of fire. Now that kind of scene, people have interpreted it to mean that somewhere in heaven, Jesus will be by the side of the lake of fire, watching people burn, and he'll be enjoying it. He'll be happy. That you are a sinner, die, die. I told you to repent, you do not repent. Now you will suffer forever. You see, these are the impressions that we've had of God, you know. Impressions we had of God actually affects our course in life. Negativity that people breed in their minds is a reflection of their fears, you know. And where the fear comes from, fear all originates from your being alone or your being without God. You know it? That is what fear That is the thing that brings about fear. The Bible says, perfect love casts out all fear. You see it? Have you listened to the news properly? Look at the news on the newspapers. Look on the internet and see the things that people write on the internet. You know, look at all, they are all with a trace of what? Mark of fear. Fear of what? Of the unknown. Fear of what will happen. Have you heard of anything like breaking news? One good thing has happened. Mm. Breaking news is always negative news. You see, because man is living in fear and in suspense, you know? So people have to cook out things, you know? Fear of how the end of the world will be, you know? How, you know, China will drop a bomb on America. No, I'm just talking generally. You know, how God, you know, how, you know, some kind of geographical event will occur. You know, have you heard of falling stars? They talk of these mass, big masses in heaven. Yes. That will fall. Some scientists have made a theory that one day one of these stars will fall and, you know, destroy the whole earth. You see, all these concepts are born out of the fear of man. You see? Fear, everything is out of fear. Yeah. Fear, everything that, you know, governs this life today is fear. And that is why you have the wickedness on the face of the earth. That is why you have the struggle, you know, to survive and to con your friend and to, you know, all the smart moves that people do to con their neighbors, to, you know, deceive people and all that. It's all a means of trying to make ends meet. You see, but they are without God. They do not know God. So everything is negative for them. Now, that negativity is what has brought about sorrow. If you don't have a positive view of God, if you don't see everything in the light of God's kingdom, but you see it in the negative light of man's, you know, kingdom, nothing will work out for you. Amen?
Yes.
Nothing will ever work out for you. You see, if you study the story of the Garden of Eden properly, you will discover God never actually condemned Adam. It was Adam that, you know, that felt condemned. God was even asking you that, but who told you? Where did you get this doctrine from? Who told you that you are naked? I didn't tell you. Who told you you are naked? I created you perfect. I see you as perfect. You see, God does not see a man as a sinner. You see it? God's eye is focused on the truth. God does not see the lie. His eye is focused on the true person on the inside of you. He does not have a view of what we do now in our humanity or what we do in the lower places. Now, if you suffer as a result of what you are doing, you're only just reaping and, you know, sowing and reaping. But it does not mean that God is waiting somewhere out there to make things bad for you. Amen?
Amen.
It is just a result of your reaping. You just reap what you sow. That's all. See, God has created everything and He has rested. You understand my point now? It is left for us now to maintain ourselves or to discover ourselves back in God's world. And this is the intention of the gospel. The intention of the gospel is to cause us to know the living God. To know God, the way God truly is, and to know Jesus Christ. This is the definition of eternal life that we see in John chapter 17 verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Christ Jesus whom thou hast sent. You see it? This is the life of God. This is the eternal life that we are all lacking when we live in ignorance of the true and living God. Eternal life has got nothing like fear in it. There's no fear in eternal life. Eternal life, there's no limitation. You see it? All the limitation and fear that we face in this life is simply because we are cut off from that eternal life, that source, which is knowing the living God, and Christ Jesus. Who is Christ Jesus? It's very important that you understand this thing, because these things, they come you know, mysteries. He said that you may know the Christ. You may know Christ. He's just simply saying that you may know the Father and the Son. In this age, we call the Son Christ Jesus. You see, but what he's trying to say is that you are who? The Son. See, but eternal life is to rediscover yourself as the Son, as Christ. Eh? Who is in the Father. That is all the gospel is all about. Is it? Is it the book of 1 John? Isn't it? 1 John chapter 5. He has come to give us understanding that we are in him. That is true. Amen. And this is the only true God and eternal life. Once you discover yourself in Christ, the Son of the living God, you are in the Godhead. You see, and when you discover yourself, this particular relationship is what we cast out all the fear, all the uncertainty. Amen?
Amen.
Fear. You know fear.
Yeah.
Fear. Tomorrow, fear. How will I survive? Fear. You know what will happen to me tomorrow? Fear. Isn't it fear?
It is.
Fear. Fear my health.
Yes.
What will happen to my children? Fear.
Yes.
Isn't it? But perfect love casts out fear. That perfect love is found in the model of the Father and Son, which is that heavenly model that Christ has come to reveal. He has come to reveal the true God of love, that we are inseparable from him. That all along, God has never ever left us. God has never ever condemned us. We only left God in an Adam-like kind of shift, because that same experience Adam had is the experience that we all have had when we entered into this world. This world, we have completely conformed ourselves to an earthly image, which is not the image of the living God. We have conformed ourselves to a beastly, as an image of the beast that crawls on the ground, you know, that drags along the ground, which is earthly carnal man, the carnal man. And as long as you live the life in relation to this world, this material world, temporal world, you cannot perceive God. You see it? So now we have to now begin to change our way of thinking. We have to now begin to understand the truth. You see, it is when we know the living God that things will begin to get better in our life. That is when we can begin to get healing, emotional healing. It is then family members can be healed. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It is then that we can now begin to manifest love and not just sit back and be bitter and criticizing people and looking at out for fault in people and all that. You look out for faults in people because you yourself are faulty. That's because you yourself are imperfect. That's why you look out for faults in people. If you see somebody gossip and, you know, the way men gossip and talk, is because they themselves are not perfect. You see it? Sorry. Yeah, it's all right. So the way you judge other people is how, you know, you look at yourself. You look at yourself as a standard. If you are a failure, you will see a failure in other people. Isn't it? But if you are a success and you are, you know, you always want to see success in other people, you will not recognize failure in other people. So our life, our knowledge of God is what governs, you know, our progress in this life. It is our knowledge of God that can make our environment be like what? A garden of
Eden.
Eden means what? Pleasure. It means enjoyment. It means rest. It means the paradise of God. The paradise of God, so I'm talking of the best of God. You know, it's a realm that you attain to where you do not have to begin to calculate for tomorrow. You live spontaneously. You know, anything that you ever need comes to you, because all things are yours and all things are what? Under your foot, you know. In that realm, you live by the supernatural. And this thing is real. That is eternal life. You live a life that is in God. Not a life that is according to the life of limited men. Man is limited and he has to calculate. You know, he has to scheme, isn't it? He has to do all kind of things to make ends meet. But when you live in that realm, then you can now begin to take, you know, money out of the mouth of fishes. Amen. To pay your taxes. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, this is real, eh? This is a new, it's a realm of living where, you know, everything works out for the good. It's a realm that you just, all you just do is to, it's a realm of positivity. Everything is what? Positive. You know, and your faith in the Father, you know, that faith is restored to the fullness. You see, it is faithlessness that causes the problem of man. Lack of faith. Lack of faith towards what? God, towards living. That is what has reduced man to what? To rubble. Amen. And that you have to now be like the beast, animal struggling. But when you are back to that place, elevation, elevated in God, in high places in God, then everything works out for your good. Amen. So, for God so loved the world, He has given His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him will not what? Have, will not perish, but have eternal life. You see, it is the, when you say believe in the Son, it's not just a head knowledge, it's you yourself believing and conforming yourself to that Son, living as the Son. You see it? The gift of God is a revelation of the Son, is it? Say, He gave His only begotten Son. Now He gives it to you by what? It comes by what? Revelation. It doesn't come by head knowledge. The Jesus, like many people will know today, is not Jesus. Amen. People are still, you know, have you seen those pictures on walls? Pictures hanging on walls?
Yes.
One very handsome man. Mm. And all that kind of stuff with a hat on the chest.
Yes.
Now all those things are not Jesus. Amen. Yes. Jesus is what? Is spirit. Amen. Amen. And is found on the inside of you. You are part and parcel of that body. That is what the whole thing is all about. So when the Father now says He gives you the Son, it comes by what? Revelation. Amen.
Amen.
That's why when Peter says, "This is my, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of the Living God," you know, Jesus says, "Flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven." You cannot know Christ Jesus except it is revealed to you. You cannot understand what it's all about. People have only formed idols. You know, man's work is just to form idols. That's all. People have only formed idols of Jesus, but many people do not know what Jesus is all about. Amen. So we're going to see something now in this message about the adulterous woman. You know of a woman who was caught in adultery, and they brought this woman, you know, early in the morning, you know, where Jesus was teaching, and you know they asked Jesus to, you know, they told Jesus that this woman was caught in adultery. They said she was caught in the very act, and the people were boiling with what? Anger. With stones in their hands. They were about to kill Jesus. You see this in John chapter 8. They were about to kill the adulterous lady. Stone her, kill her. She's an adulteress, you know. And they brought her to Jesus, you know. Because these are people who were nourished with the letters, with the law, you know, with the laws of Moses. So they wanted to see the reaction of Jesus. And Jesus now turned around to them and said, "If you are without
iniquity,
you do what? Stretch your hand and stone her." See, but before he did this, he made one strange gesture. He went on his knees, he bowed himself to the ground and started to write on the ground. Jesus started to write on the ground, you know. And as he was writing, they were wondering, what is wrong with this man again? Has he started with one of those tricks? And he now put off his head and said, "If any of you is without sin, you stone her." Then he continued to do what? To write. As he was writing, what happened? The number of people accusing the woman reduced. The numbers reduced until there were no more. Now when Jesus now lifted up his face and discovered that they were not, he asked the woman, "Where are your accusers?" The woman says that they are all gone. And listen to the words that Jesus Christ, you know, said to this lady. He said, John chapter 8 verse 11, Jesus said, she said, no man, that is a reply to, because Jesus asked her, where are the people? Or let's go back, let me just start from John chapter 8 verse 10. It says, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. These are some of the most beautiful scriptures. You see it? Why these people came around to accuse this woman? Jesus only stooped down to write. And as he wrote on the floor, on the ground, these people all disappeared one after the other. You see it? And what is the message that God is giving us through this man? Because that woman obviously represents a child of Abraham. She represents a child of God. She represents a church of God. You see, and God, Jesus Christ, had his eyes set on one particular thing. He had his eyes set on the true seed that was on the inside of her. You see, when you begin to walk in this realm, you do not recognize people after the flesh. You see, you do not recognize people for what they do in their humanity. But what you do is recognize the seed that is on the inside of them. Of course, some things that some people might do, you might not like them and all that. But still, the eyes must be focused on the spirit man that is on the inside of them. You see, God also has that particular view of each and every one of us. God does not go about condemning nobody. You see it? You see that as those people came and, you know, shouted out that the woman should be killed, she should be stoned, Jesus, you know, didn't have that same opinion with these people. Let us understand that accuser today, or those accusers, has been from the beginning, from the moment Adam, you know, transgressed in the Garden of Eden. What happened? Who told Adam that he was naked? Who told Adam that he was unworthy? It was a voice that was ignited on the inside of him. You see it? It's a voice that comes from what? The conscience. And this is the conscience that defies man, that tells a man that he's unworthy, he's an unworthy, worthless sinner in the sight of God. You see it? But God is out there saying that, who told you are naked? He said, who told you that you are imperfect? Who told you that I do not love you the way you are? You see, we're seeing the view of God in all things. God is a God of light. He's a God of love. And in him, there's no shadow of turning. It is God that sends, you know, the light upon both what? Good and evil. He's the one that sends rain upon good and evil. You see, he does not select. He does not, you know, have partiality with men. He does not know people according to the way they are known in this world. What God only sees and recognizes is his creature, that creature that he created in the beginning. Amen. Now, this woman that has the stigma of accusation, you know, all over her, this is the accusation unto death. Let us understand that condemnation and accusation is what leads man to death, because these are the things that cause a man to shrink away from the presence of God. You know that? It's your conscience, your defiled conscience, that causes you to what? Run away from God's presence. When your conscience, you know, tells you that you are a sinner, you are unworthy, you are this, you are that, what happens is that you just slip away from God's presence, you know? And your faith diminishes. You see, that is how you find yourself more and more and more and more in a wilderness, away from the presence and the loving arms of God. So Jesus did one particular, he bent down and started writing on the earth. And I tell you, spiritually speaking, that act that Jesus did is a spiritual work that he's doing on the inside of each and every one of us today. He's teaching us what his laws. He's teaching us his ways. He's writing his laws upon our hearts. These are some of the prophecies you see in the Old Testament about the work that God will do in these last days. When you say the last days, like I said, last days talking about the last days in this world. The world is that lower realm of existence that we have, you know, we have lived in when we walked in ignorance, when we are cut off from the life of God. When Adam was driven away from God's presence, he actually entered into a new system called the world system. That is the world. The world does not know God. That is the definition of God. The world is in a realm of what? Ignorance. So the last days or the end of the world is simply the end of that life in ignorance. When we are ushering back into that life of God, that eternal life of God, when we are ushering back into his presence, that is what ends the world. End of the world is not one last 24 hours, you know, somewhere in the future, like people have, you know, interpreted over the years. The world, end of the world comes upon you as you ascend into Christendom. Amen. So the prophets were prophesying about what God will do in the later days. In Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 33 says, "But this shall be the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After these days, those days, say the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people." Amen?
Amen.
This is the work God is doing to us today. He's rewriting his word in us. Amen?
Amen.
And you see, when we come to this place, we are perfect in God.
We are perfect.
We are perfect. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It is the teaching. It is his teaching. It is his understanding. It is his illumination that causes us to walk in that perfection in which we are generated in the beginning. That is why he says what? Remember what he told the woman at the end? I am the light of the world. What is the light? Light is what? It's the truth. And if you walk in the light, you will not stumble. You know, that is, if you walk in Christ, if you walk in the revelation of your true identity that has been from the beginning of the world, you are what? You will have the light of life. There shall be no more condemnation. The Bible says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. When you enter into that particular realm, when you enter into that knowledge of yourself in the Son, there is nothing that can ever take away your joy again from you. Nothing can ever condemn you and accuse you of being what? Naked again. Amen?
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. In that day, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Because you have come back to the place of perfection in God. That's why Jesus Christ says that in that day you shall know that you are in God. In that day, no one shall take away for your joy from you.
Yeah.
Why? Because you have now rediscovered yourself perfectly fitted in the body of Christ, which is the work God has come to do. You see, God, when God works in us, he does not come to teach us how to be good or how, you know, how to be religious, you know. He does not come to teach us how to follow the ways men have followed over the years. All he does is to teach us the truth. Amen. Is to teach us the way God created you. Is to teach you who you are. Cause you to come into awareness of who you are. So that you can regain your true nature back in God. You see it? On the inside of you, that Christ we are talking about is the only one that automatically fulfills the law of God. Amen?
Amen?
The accuser actually accuses you using the law. If any man sins, is a what? He's a slave to sin. If any man sins, is a what? He's a slave to sin. You see, but if the Son of Man sets you free, you shall be free indeed. You are set free when you get back into that union in Christ. You are free when you get back into your spiritual identity in Christ. Amen. Because actually, it is the natural carnal mind, or that nature of man that corrupts a man. A man that works after flesh and blood cannot fulfill the what? The laws of God. It's not possible. It's written in the Bible. Flesh and blood cannot what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ says, I did not come here to annul the law, but I've come here so that you can fulfill it. He was revealed from heaven so that we can fulfill the laws of God. So when he bends down to begin to write on the ground, he's simply talking about the work he's doing in these last days. A teacher, amen, he's teaching us his word, he's teaching us his ways. Those ancient, and as he teaches us his way and his law, what happens? We are restored back to fullness. It is then that those accusers will disappear. Why do they disappear? Because we find ourselves perfect in him. Amen. We find ourselves perfect in him. Whole in him. Sane in him. Amen. Another prophecy in the book of Ezekiel. This is a prophecy for the last days, the latter days. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen, that's from among the nations, and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. This is the promise of God. God is saying he's going to gather his people out of this world. Amen.
Amen.
He has come to take us out of this world. It's not a physical gathering.
Spiritual.
It's a spiritual gathering where we are lifted up out of the miry clay. We are lifted up out of the nations that walk in the ignorance of their, of their minds. And we are taken up toward God's mountain. He says that then I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols, I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my commandments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people and I shall be your God. Amen. You see it?
Amen.
This is the work of God in these last days. He says that he's going to cause you to walk in his ways. Amen.
Amen.
Brethren, God is not accusing anybody of the way you are. God is not accusing anybody of how you find yourself. But what he's saying by his word is that he's going to do what? Is going to cause you. I will make you to walk in my way. I will cause you to walk in that righteousness that you are seeking to walk in. I will cause you to walk in perfection and in my glory. That your heart that is fixed on the earth, your heart that cannot please me, God says, well, I will convert it so that it will be able to please me. You see it? And all this thing is done only as God conforms us. We are transformed. Amen.
Amen.
This is the work of God. He quickens us from the miry clay. He quickens us from the dust. He quickens us from flesh and blood and causes us to become spiritual beings once more in the image of the living God. Amen.
Amen.
You must be born again of what? Of water and spirit. Otherwise, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Those that worship my Father worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So he now administers his word, which is the word is truth. The word, is spirit. And that word is what causes us to get back to our true form in God. This is all God wants. This is all about the scripture. Everything in the scripture points to nothing but Christ and the revelation of his glory in these last days. Amen. So the work of the adulterer, the work Jesus Christ performed on the adulterer is simply, the act of mercy. We see the act of compassion. We see love in motion here. Amen. The Bible says that Christ was in God, reconciling what? Or rather, God was in Christ, reconciling the whole world unto himself. Amen.
Amen.
Not what imputing that trespasses unto them. Amen. And has committed unto us the world of reconciliation. God is not here to, you know, look at anybody's sin or anybody's fault. God does not, is bigger than that. Amen. My ways are not your ways. Neither my thoughts your thoughts. God's ways are higher than that. God does not come down to look at anybody. The Bible says that he has forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
Even yet, while we were sinners, he has what? He has reconciled us to himself. Amen. Not imputing, you know, their trespasses unto them. God does not look at anybody's trespasses. All he's interested in is what? Is getting his people out of that pit of destruction and placing their feet on the solid rock of clay, where they can sing once more in joy, where they can once more glorify his name. This is all he's seeking, and this is what the gospel is all about. So let us be focused and not be discouraged. Let us be focused and not be discouraged. Let us, no matter how things might look at times some people might cry about it, but I'm not getting any better. But once we just allow the Lord to do this work of transformation in us, we will discover ourselves in his perfection, in his perfect joy. We will discover ourselves once more in his paradise, in a perfect peace, where no more voices of condemnation unto death will reign anymore in our lives. It will be only life and life and life.
Amen.
Amen. This is the will of God for us in these last days. Amen.
Amen.